Let's read tonight, please, in Numbers chapter 4. I wish to thank you, my dear brothers and sisters, for coming to the meeting. And I do have to say that I am very, very happy to be in Vancouver once again. I guess I have to say I like it here or something like that, because I'm happy to be back again. And I do thank you for the privilege, my dear brethren, here in Woodland Drive of having these two meetings. If our Lord be not come tomorrow evening and Thursday, I hope to be with the saints in Fairview. So you can remember those meetings in prayer, and if possible, of course, we would be very happy to see you there too. Now we're continuing our consideration of the Levites from the book of Numbers, and I hope that tonight we may be able to cover the ground that we have set before us in chapter 4 and also passage in chapter 7. Reading, please, from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Take the some of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host, or that is, into the service, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil, the veil of the screen, and cover the ark of the testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins or seal skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. And upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and the covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of seal skin, and shall put in the staves thereof. And they shall take a cloth of blue, and cover the candlestick of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his snuff dishes, and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it, and all the vessels thereof, within a covering of sealskin, and shall put it upon a frame, a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with a covering of sealskin, and shall put to the staves thereof, and they shall take all the instruments of ministry, wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of sealskin, and shall put them on a bar or on a frame. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon, and they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, that's the fire pans, and the flesh hooks, and the shovels, and the basins, and all the vessels of the altar, and they shall spread upon it a covering of sealskin, and put to the staves of it. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary, and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch an holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. And to the office of Eleazar the son of Aaron, the priest, pertaineth the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meal offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is, in the sanctuary, and in the vessels thereof. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Cut ye not off of the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them, that they may live and not die, when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in, and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take also the sum of the sons of Gershon, throughout the houses of their fathers by their families, from 30 years old and upward, until 50 years old, shalt thou number them, all that enter in to perform the service, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites, to serve, and for burdens. And they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle, and the tabernacle of the congregation his covering, and the covering of the sealskin that is above upon it, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the hanging for the door of the gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and their cords, and all the instruments of their service, and all that is made for them, so shall they serve. At the appointment of Aaron and his sons shall be all the service of the sons of the Gershonites in all their burdens and in all their service. And ye shall appoint unto them in charge all their burdens. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation, and their charge shall be under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron. As for the sons of Merari, thou shalt number them after their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even under 50 years old, shalt thou number them. Every one that entereth into the service will do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and this is the charge of their burden, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation. The boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and sockets thereof, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords, with all their instruments, and with all their service. And by name ye shall reckon the instruments of the charge, and their burden. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service, in the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar, from his own. Leviticus chapter 6. Verse 1. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle, and had anointed it, sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the priests of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribe, and were over them, as their numbers, offered, and they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covers them, and wagons, and they brought them, and were presented, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take it. Interesting passage. As we have been speaking to Moses a little this week, a little concerning the character of the service of the Levites and the association of that service with the banner of Judah and Reuben and Israel and Israel. Now, as we were noticing in the beginning of this book, in fact, we talked about things perhaps as we move to 9 or 4 or 4, that chapter 1, while it is an introduction to this book, is actually a vital chapter to what follows in the book. Vital because of this fact. Chapter 1 of Numbers is going to introduce their numbers. And the people of Israel are going to be introduced to the fact of who their father is
as who the tribe is that they belong to. And on the basis of that genealogy, God is going to say, now out of that genealogy, well, my dear brother and sister, there's a very tricky thing to be able to say. But you know, being a child of God is really only the introduction. He declares, not only has he chosen these people, but he's going to use these people, but he's going to express his association with the people. That's the book of Numbers. I saw the last night. The book of Numbers is the people who have come from Leviticus, the sanctuary. And now they're going to face a world that hates. The Amalekites are going to meet again. The Edomites are going to meet again. And they're going to meet the Moabites again. And before they ever set foot in the land, milk and honey, and they would be at rest and be able to say, this is home. This is what God intended for.
But before we look at that service, can I mention again the beauty of that camp? With those four banners, that's what's going to be in the center of it. My brethren, each of those Levites, the Kohathites, you will recall that last evening we noticed that they were on the north side. There they are. And the Merarites and the Gershonites, God put them in a separate place under a different banner. The banner of Judah, the banner of Dan, or rather the banner of Ephraim and the banner of Dan and the banner of Reuben. Out in the front, under the banner of Judah, there's Moses and Aaron. And the brethren who gathered with them, those Levites that dwelt there, under the banner of Judah. And it was always in the forefront. The king. Ah, brethren, may God ever keep before our eye. As we sought to notice last night, the banner of Judah was always looking east. Looking for the coming king. Always expecting the fulfillment of promise. Brethren, I hope that God will help me day by day. You know, one verse that impressed me of recent months is the verse that dear David has given to us. I will praise the Lord all the days of my life. My brethren, I would love to be that way. Every passing day, and I do not know what tomorrow may hold, but my God holds my tomorrow, and I would long that just in my simplicity and in my weakness, that I may be able to crown that day with a note of praise from God. He is altogether worthy, and he will not fail me, and I know not what tomorrow may hold. But I know who holds that tomorrow, and he is worthy of my praise. Dear David, I will praise the Lord all the days of my life. And brethren, he slept without a pillow and without a tent in a cave when he wrote those words. Men threw mud at him. Men threw stones at him, old Shimei. He was a traitor. There were men that turned their back on him, such as Ahithophel. His own son broke his heart. And yet he says, I will praise the Lord all the days of my life. And brethren, that was no exaggeration or it wouldn't be in our Bible. That was truth in the life of that man. Oh, that it may be written in my heart and yours to me. That's the banner of Judah. Judah means praise. The banner of the king and praise, they go together. And following it, as we look at that parade, as we may use that word perhaps rather loosely, but as we see Israel moving through the wilderness, what I would like you to notice tonight is that right in the center of that parade, there is Judah. And then there's the Kohathites that follow. Pardon me, it's the Merarites that follow. And then you will find the next is the tribe of Reuben, the sonship of our Lord Jesus. He follows. And then right in the center of that camp is the Kohathites. And right in the center of that parade, there's one thing that four Kohathites are carrying on their shoulders. And it's the only thing with any color in the whole parade. It's dark. It's colored. And standing out in the midst of that parade, why, that was God's intention, brethren, that the Lord Jesus be seen in the heavenly character of his person as these people move through the wilderness. And that's God's purpose for your life. That's God's purpose for my service. Let the Lord Jesus be right in the center. Even as we moved 7 days a week, there were Kohathites were Levites, Gershonites and Merarites, 7 days a week. Their service was all centered around that ark. All centered around that ark to be right in the center as they moved through the wilderness. May that mark my life and yours, brethren. May it be the center of our service as Levites for God, a beautiful parade for the world to look upon. This was all centered around that ark to be right in the center as they moved through the wilderness. May that mark my life and yours, brethren. May it be the center of our service as Levites for God, up to you, through the wilderness. May that mark my life and yours, brethren. May it be the center of our service as Levites for God, a beautiful parade for the world to look upon. Look at those Christians. They're always carrying that light. Look at that dear lady. Every time you see her go into that place, she has a hat on. And every time you see that man go there, why, he's dressed up like he's going in to meet the king. Now you'll understand me, I'm not talking about my brethren getting a tuxedo on or something such a dumb thing as that to come to meeting with. You know what I mean? It's the sense that of that dear believer, each of us brethren, handling holy things. And in keeping with the handling of holy things, there's a deportment by the Kohathites and the Merarites and the Gershonites that would give to the world to see an order of that parade. There's those four banners, every one of them, upholding the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. In keeping with that order, the world looks on. It just come to my mind, one dear man said to me one time, when he saw the dear Christians, you know, he says, there's a queer lot of them in there, isn't there? That's the way he looked at it. Well, the queer lot, let me interpret the queerness of it if I can, my dear brethren. I hope they never act queer. God preserve us from that. But nevertheless, the point being made was, it's strange that they always act that way. That they always look that way. And those men are always there. And those sisters are always there. And they'll go there. If it's 7 nights a week, they'll go there. One man said to me, you'd go every night, wouldn't you? And I said, yes, if I could. Oh, brother, and that's the order. That's the beauty of it. No praise to us at all. I didn't say that in order to make you think I'm anything. But let me say to you kindly, brother, in that parade with those banners and upholding that banner, that's the work of the Levites. Now let us notice their service just for a little tonight, if I can. Chapter 2 is loyalty to a name. Chapter 3 and verse and chapter 8 that we noticed last night was Levitical consecration. And what we wish to notice a little tonight are the labors of the Levites. And if the Lord will, I would like to notice the leading of the Levites tomorrow night and finally in chapter 10 on Thursday night. But note with me tonight a little concerning these Kohathites, Gershonites, and Merarites. We did not read how many there were of each of them, and it's interesting to read that. That's instructive, but because I do not have the time, I didn't have enough time last night, I can see that, as my beloved wife always tells me, Jim, you take far too many sidetracks. You only stay on the main one, you did it all done. Well, I'll have to try and do that from now on in tonight. She's not here. She's a beloved man. Anyway, let me note with you, first of all, if I can, God points out two things about Levites that perhaps you and I would just, we would take so much the same notice of. He mentions not physical ability, but age. Now, can you imagine a little fellow 5 feet tall trying to carry one corner of that ark covered with gold, weighty, brethren, weighty, made of shittim wood, covered with gold, with two cherubim on them, and the mercy seat, and the law, the two tables of stone within. I don't believe they were very large, but nevertheless, they were in there. Was the pot of manna inside when they carried it? I would not be at all surprised. That's where God said it should be. But nevertheless, the weight of that ark, God didn't say, I want 6 foot men carrying that ark. You see, it isn't how big a man is that God is going to say he makes a good Levite. The Levite that's going to handle holy things, God says, I want a man. That's an important thing. Can I note with you that as we were reading last night, God said 25 years. Bring them in at 25 years. And then he says, at 30 years, let them start to carry it. There's 5 years of training there. That's a very important thing, brethren. And may I just say to my dear younger brethren here tonight, whom we love, we want to train you if we can. You're not young anymore. Tomorrow I may be in heaven. I do not know. Tomorrow your overseer might be in heaven. And what will you do? What equipment have you? 25 years of age, you're an apprentice. You're going to learn. You're going to be brought in. And some of you young men will very likely be brought in with your overseers. Not to teach them, but to learn from them. That's what we read last night. That's what we read again tonight. From 30 to 50, they're serving. 5 years of apprenticeship. Now, in those years of apprenticeship, as if we were to go back to chapter 8 where we were reading last night, we would find that from 25 to 30, we read beautiful things about them. I did not take time to notice it with you, for I didn't have time. Let me mention it now in passing concerning these Kohathites, first of all. From 25 to 30, it says they worked with the older men. Isn't that nice? That's how they learned. They worked with the older men. And then we read also in that chapter, the older men oversaw the younger ones. They were counselors. They guided them. They gave them their experience. They taught them the experiences that they had had carrying those things. And they taught them how to do it. Don't lift the corner of that, son. If you lift the corner of that, you'll die. God said so. Can you see the point? Don't take a chance. Inexperienced will take chances. My dear brethren, when it comes to holy things, God wants men to learn. Learn from himself and learn from men of experience. For 5 years, my brethren, can I say, those 5 years are never misspent years. Those 5 years are going to bring you to the day when that older man will say, I'm 50 years old, my son. And you're just coming up 30. So I'm going to let you to carry the corner that I was carrying. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. And at 50 years of age, the Kohathite, he didn't cease to be a Kohathite. And he didn't cease to go into that holy place when the things were covered by the priests. No, but he went in to help the 30-year-old learn best how to balance the ark so they wouldn't stumble. And the things of God would maintain their beauty. And together, the young worked with the old, and the old was an overseer of the young. That's the divine order. That's the first thing. The second thing that I would like you to notice is that God said concerning them, as we were reading there in verse chapter 4, and let me note in verse 18 and 19, cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them, that they may live and not die when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them, every one to his service and to his birth. Can you see the picture? Look at the Kohathite. Here's the Levite that we were noticing last night, called of God because of their family relationship with Aaron. A link with the high priest, and a link with the shekel of the sanctuary we noticed last night, and a link with the firstborn for life or death. That gave character to the Levite service, and every believer here tonight is Levite by birth. Levite in character, called of God, linked with our high priest, linked with the shekel of the sanctuary. I love that. That's a beautiful study in the book of Exodus, brethren. The shekel of the sanctuary. Look at it. Look at it in Leviticus, chapter 5 and chapter 27, it's mentioned. In chapter 5, it's linked with the trespass offering, the ram of the trespass offering. And the ram there is the prince of the flock. That's God putting a value on the work of his beloved son as he makes atonement for sin at Calvary. And when you come to chapter 27, it's the Lord's people offering themselves for service. And God says, take that man of 20 years of age. Give them a value after the shepherd said. Isn't that a beautiful thing? My dear young man,
young lady here tonight, you have no understanding, nor have I, of how much it means to God when you bow your knees by your bed, and in the language of the little hymn we love to sing, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransomed powers. And brethren, that's the logical conclusion, because God called you to be new life. You're not giving him something that wasn't his. You're offering him what is his own. Lead me, O God, lead me according to thy will. That's the Levite. And now the Kohathite, who is going to go in and handle holy things and carry them upon his shoulders. God chooses him by his age. He gives him an apprenticeship. And he gives him a retirement from the labor to the position of counseling. And as we notice now in this second passage, Aaron is going to appoint him his service. It's not a political choice. It's not the case of whose son you are. And it isn't really the case of how well or how lack of wellness you may have in speaking. It's by the appointment of the husband. Doesn't that give a nobility to that dear man as he comes into that sanctuary? And Aaron is in there. Aaron has done the work of covering that beautiful lampstand. He sees two men come in. He says, son, you take this end. And, sir, you take this end. You're appointed. Appointed by the high priest to handle the holy. Ah, brethren and sisters, tonight, can I say to you likewise, my dear sisters, that gives a dignity to your service in God's assembly that no organization of men could ever give. Nor could I ever give you, should I say to you, well, dear young man or young lady, I think that you have a certain ability for such a work, and you should really go after that. Let me say, and you get down upon your knees, and Aaron says, son, do this for me. That gives a nobility to that work, whatever character it may be. But let me note with you, in particular, the Levite character of work here is handling holy things. Carrying a lampstand. That's carrying the light of truth that God would have displayed concerning His Holy Son. Depth to it, which you will never get a glimpse of, but handle it carefully. It's made of solid gold. That's what God has given and put into your hand. Carrying the table that speaks of fellowship and 12 loaves of bread upon it. My, do I see the work of a pastor? Do I see that shepherd character that blooming in them, in the very character of that young man and his dear wife? Aaron says, you take the table. You take one corner of the table. And there's another dear sister, and she's a praying woman. And another brother, and he's a praying man. You can tell them, brethren, in the assembly, you can tell them. Aaron says, you take the altar. Just four of you. Four praying men. Carrying an altar from God. Ah, beloved, that's holy service. Holy things. When I look at the Merarites, I must hasten to note them with you for a moment, and the Gershonites. As we look at the Gershonites in verse 24, we find that they're handling the hangings of the court. And the curtains over the tent. The veils and the doors and the cords and the pins. And they have an overseer, the son of Aaron, who is Ithamar. How very precious to see these dear men. Let me say to you, dear younger ones, here's a Levite, a Gershonite. And what is he handling? He's handling those veils that portray the moral perfections of the Lord Jesus. Those curtains, white, beautiful curtains, five foot six high all the way around that court. The purity, the impeccability of the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Beautiful truth to be handled, brethren. Oh, can I say to you, dear younger men tonight, all of you, my dear brethren here, you and I have responsibility to handle holy things. When it comes to dealing with the instruments of service, that's the Kohathites. When it comes to dealing
with that which pertains to the beauties of the person of Christ. That's the Gershonite. And we need men in God's assembly that can handle it. My brother, will you be a student of the person of Christ? My dear sister, will you be a student of the person of Christ? That's the Gershonite. You say, how can a sister ever be of use handling those things? When I turn to Titus 2, I see sisters teaching younger sisters. Teaching them how to be a godly man. Teaching them how to be a godly life. Because through consistency of life, that dear older sister, maybe she is a widow, that's what Titus 2 tells us. That she's a Gershonite. She's handling the curtains. And what is she doing? She's showing the characteristics of the person of the Lord Jesus, just as Paul did to the Ephesians. This is the way he wrote it. As the truth is in Jesus. That's the man of Nazareth. Our Lord Jesus Christ. The character of beauty that was seen in his attitude. You know, it's a very interesting thing. I mustn't do it. I was going to tell you that each of the four Gospels present a moral beauty in the Lord Jesus that is most interesting. Let me just mention one to note with you, the Gospel of Mark. 7 times in Mark's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is interrupted when he's doing something or saying something. It is most helpful to see how he acted when he was interrupted. That's Christ-like. How do I act when I'm interrupted? The Lord Jesus acted in Mark's Gospel in interruption with a holy piety and with grace to the person that interrupted. Oh, what amazing. Brethren, that's handling curtains. That's holy things. Handle them with reverence. Language. May I just say to the young people, I hope that your ears are not filled with the din of this reckless rock and roll stuff our world has. Oh, you say you're an old-fashioned. My beloved brethren, I'd far sooner hear my Redeemer, oh, what beauty in that lovely name appears. I'd love to hear that from the radio of my car. But when I hear something that bounces off the windows, there's only one thing to do with it, and that's shut it off, because I'm going to tell you it does 2 things to you. It corrupts your mind and it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. I hope that you can you see that? There's nothing handling of the garments of Christ in that. God help us as Gershonites to remember the curtains and to remember the seal skins. Remember the scarlet robe, the scarlet cloth, and the blue cloths. They all speak of the Lord Jesus. And as the world looked on, all it saw was sealskins. Didn't look beautiful, did it? But there was one thing that looked beautiful. And I wonder what Balaam thought when he looked down on that camp and he saw them moving past the mountain there. Balak says, curse them, Balaam, curse them, stop those people. They can't keep up that order. We've got to interrupt that order. And that old rascal did interrupt that order, sad to say. You know how he interrupted it? Tell the young people to mix with the young people of the world. That's how he corrupted it, brother. That's a bad mixture. But when he looked down from that mountain, you know what he saw? One thing that was blue, carried on the shoulders of 4 men. My beloved brethren, in the presence of the Lord Jesus tonight, I ask you, would you not like the world to see you carrying the ark of blue upon your shoulder? I would. And I know you would. Wouldn't that be a noble honor? For the world to look down and recognize, what are they carrying there? What is it? Look at them. They're so careful. Look at the order. Look at those flags. 4 of them. What does it all mean? It all portrays the honor of a man who was altogether worthy. Our beloved Lord. We bear his name. And we bear on our shoulders a very personal, felt responsibility. I'm bearing the honor of the person of the Lord Jesus. I've never seen the gold, and I've never seen the wood,
But I've seen the cloth of blue. So have you. We get to see that cloth of blue by the way and purpose of the Holy Spirit and the transforming power of that divine person and the evidences of heavenly character of the person of Christ is displayed in your life, displayed in mine, I trust, as we carry it through the lives. In the last battle with the Ammonites, they had the ark on their shoulders, brethren, and God says, put it down. And chased them. And they won. Keep the ark on the shoulders, brethren, and the table, and the altar, and the lampstand, oh so beautiful, and those curtains, and then the boards. The Merarites had the heavy end of it. There's always men that must have a heavy end, brethren. Must have a heavy end. I do not mean to say that they have the heavy end of getting in trouble. I hope none of you have that. But somehow or other it seems to come along somehow, doesn't it? You're always getting into some kind of a little scrape. But let me note with you, brethren, these men were handling gold boards. And those boards weren't covered. They handled gold. And they handled silver. Look at the sockets. Would it take two men to lift one of those sockets of solid silver? How many men would it take as they took out those bars from those boards? And what were they doing? Carrying gold bars, brethren! Handling gold bars! What are they? Oh, so beautiful. The typology is beautiful. Look at them as they handle those gold boards, gold covered. They would carefully handle them. They're going to lay them on cloths of blue. They're going to cover them. Indeed, those boards are all to be covered and laid on a wagon. That gold. Give to them consciousness. Let them find them. There's a work here. You know, I love to speak of the tabernacle, and one very beautiful thing as I look at those boards, I see a brother. And I see a sister. Standing side by side. There's a bar runs through every one of them. There's four bars that tie them all together. Oh, that's a beautiful picture. What a lovely picture of God's assembly. With the Lord Jesus in the midst. My brethren, you Levites, be careful how you handle the boards. They're covered with gold. That brother beside you tonight, when you rise with this precious book, don't mar the board. Polish it. Polish it. Handle it, brethren, as God has said to the Merarites. Holy things. The preciousness of being able to handle God's people. Seeing them in all the beauty of covered with gold, sockets of silver. Ah, yes, we understand. Is it the handling of the gospel? It's foundational truth, that's for sure. It's silver, that's redemption. It's at the very thing in which those boards stand. It keeps them stable. And a good handling, brethren, a good handling of the silver. And a careful handling of the boards. And all those bars. Oh, how beautiful they are. I have not time to notice them with you tonight, but may I suggest to you, as you look at the boards and look at the rods that go through those boards, the one rod and the four that tied them together, all of those things link themselves together. God's people, His Word, their salvation, and the person of the Holy Spirit of God links all together for one glorious purpose. And they set them up. And when they took them down, God said, my dwellings, my beloved brethren, God's people in the assembly here in Woodland Drive and in each of the assemblies here represented tonight, God has a very special appreciation for every one of them. Be careful, brethren, how you handle them. Handle them from God. What does Moses and Aaron say to these Merarites? Or rather, did the Lord say to the Merarites? He said, you give them unto Moses and give them unto Aaron. and they will serve Him. And when I handle golden boards, when I handle truth that touches your life, brethren, it should shine you up, because I'm serving Aaron, and I'm serving Moses, the apostle and the high priest of our profession, typical of our Lord Jesus. The apostle gives his word to the people, and Aaron presents his people to God. That's the character of the service of a Merarite. He's doing it for the high priest. He handles the boards and the rods and puts them upon the writings. In regard to the Kohathites, we have a teacher. In regard to the Gershonites, we have the shepherd. In regard to the Merarites, I suggest we have evangelistic work as well as the Levitical work of handling the things relative to the fellowship of God's people. But I wish to close and note with you the wagons. I must close immediately. As quickly as I can here, let me note with you that the wagons were given as an offering unto the Lord. In chapter 9, we read concerning the wagons that they were brought by the princes, and they were given unto the Levites, and God appointed them. He gave to the Merarites, as we noticed, the four wagons and the oxen, and he gave to the Gershonites the two wagons and the oxen, and he gave none to the Kohathites because they carried the instruments upon their shoulders. Now here are brethren and sisters giving an offering that's going to help the Levites in their service. Isn't that interesting? How can I help you in your service, brethren? How can you help me in my service for God? How can you help that sister in her service? How can the sisters help the brethren in their service? You say, what do you mean by giving wagons? How can I give a wagon? Well, that helps take the load off them, doesn't it? And furthermore, it's an instrument that God accepts. An instrument, brethren, that is acceptable with the Lord. It's the hand of fellowship, brethren. Can I put it in very simple language? When that dear brother gets up to pray on Lord's Day morning and he speaks well of the Lord Jesus, can I ask you, do you give him a wagon by saying amen? Or do you all sit there dumb? You know, can I say kindly, brother, that hurts me when that happens. No, I'm not looking for amens. Don't worry about that. That's not what I'm looking for. But it hurts me to think that my brother will not give to the Lord Jesus the satisfaction of agreeing with Him that that brother's covered with gold and he's handling holy things. Of course, if he does it wrong, he needs correction. But you should say amen to his giving of thanks. And the same on the Wednesday night or Tuesday night, whichever it is, when they rise to bring the burdens of the assembly into the presence of God, brethren. Do you see those men with their hands filled seeking to serve God? Give them a wagon, brother. Give them a wagon. Say amen. May I say the same thing when it comes to my beloved brethren handling oversight in the meeting? Facilitate their work, brethren. How can you do it? As we read through the New Testament, read in the Corinthian epistle, particularly the second epistle of the Corinthians, we find Paul talking about wagons. He sees brethren with tears. They're bearing the burden. They weren't the guilty ones. They're the saints that are helping the overseers with the burden. They're weeping over sin. They're longing. What does Paul say about them? They long for me to come. That's wagons. That's oxen. That's helping them, brethren, carry the burden. Agreement. Standing behind them. Don't be the fifth columnist. Don't undermine it. Give them a wagon. Help them to carry it for God. God help us, brother. You know what God said about him? He says, take it. Give it to the Levites. For my sins. Oh, may God help us to lay our hand to the work of God, to handle holy things, and to give that which will support the work of God, wagons and oxen that come from our hands. Somebody had to buy them, brother. Somebody had to donate them. And isn't it interesting? They brought them. Can you see that, dear brother, as he brings two ox and he's pulling a wagon? Two ox. I don't know where he got them. He paid for them or he raised them. Maybe he built the wagon. Maybe he bought it. I don't know. But he's bringing it. Watch what he's going to do with it, brother. He presents it. He presents it to Aaron. Isn't that beautiful language? Have you ever done that, my dear brother? That's Romans 12 and 1. That's the whole chapter 12 of Romans. Four different areas in chapter 12 of Romans follows verse 1. Listen to that first verse again. It's the Levite. What is he doing? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, yourselves, unto God, holy and acceptable. That's what we are in Christ. That's being a Levite. That's just the automatic result of being chosen and called. Present yourselves a living